Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
How should the Bills handle Josh Allen and his injury leading into the game with the Panthers? Plus, what needs to change with this team over the last month of the regular season? And the realistic path to the playoffs now that the Bills are at 7-6. That's all coming up on this week's edition of the Buffalo Plus Podcast.
Welcome back to the Buffalo Plus Podcast, presented by Connors and Ferris, Mike Catalana, Dan Fates. I am Jenna Cottrell. If you enjoy our content, please be sure to like, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. It always helps out our channel. All right, it's week 15 of the NFL season. The Bills coming off back-to-back losses, something we don't see very often. A huge game ahead against the Carolina Panthers. And I say huge because where we're at in this season. Mike, Josh Allen was in a walking boot after the game against the Tampa Bay Bucks. What do you think of his status for Sunday, and what do you make of him kind of nursing his way back from an injury?
Yeah, it's an injury. It's one that impacts him playing, obviously. I mean, we're talking about a foot of a guy, you know, in every aspect of the things that he does. And we all know the way Allen is, right? He wants to play. He stayed on that field when he was banged up. Now, we all know, too, it's a little different after a game or during a game as opposed to a few days later. Mm. I think he's trending towards playing. And if he is available to play, he will play. None of this, will they rest him? Will they give him another week? This is not week 6. This is week 15. They desperately need this game against Carolina because they need to win games. So I would say as of Wednesday, when this is being recorded, I think he's got a very good shot to play. But it's also, Dan, one of those things they got to keep an eye on as the week goes along. And I do believe Mitchell Trubisky will get some snaps this week in practice.
Yeah, we just heard Josh Allen's Zoom conference on Wednesday. He said, if I can go, I'm going to go. And we know, and he was asked a bunch. Sean kind of dodged the question, just knowing that he's such a competitor. What, you know, is it going to be hard to keep Josh off the field? Josh is like, Josh was asked the same question. He's like, yeah, like you're going to have to hold me back from going on the field unless this is something major. Again, Sean McDermott has called it a foot sprain. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, called it mild turf toe. Either way, it's a sprain around the foot. It's a toe or a foot, whatever. But yeah, I just think that this is an absolute, I mean, losing two in a row, going into the final four games of the season where 10 wins probably gets them in. I mean, I'm not the ESPN playoff simulator right now, but you got to win 3 out of 4 and you have 3 winnable games, and that starts with Carolina. I don't think you want to put, no knock on Mitch Trubisky, but I don't think you want to put playoff hopes on his back.
I get that completely, but I also wonder, Mike, like where we're at in the season, the where the Panthers are at, where the Bills are at, obviously are kind of on different sides, even though their records are, you know, not, I guess, that far away. But at the same point, do you want to save Allen though? Like I know it's a toe, it's a foot, all that, but is there any thought to being extra precautious?
I don't think so. And normally I think you're right. I just think it's so late. And to Dan's point of losing those games, we've seen this happen with Josh before. Maybe he had the concussion. He came back within the week and the thought was, oh, maybe you let him sit a little bit. This is, yes, I do believe priority one. If they believed that if they put Josh Allen out there, he could seriously hurt himself, then I think at that point they hold back and say, no, I don't think that's the case. Yeah. You're not going to hear them say pain tolerance. Man, do guys in the league get mad if somebody says, and of course, Urban Meyer made this mistake earlier this year. He talked about Robinson.
Like, yeah, he's done every mistake.
Yeah, where he says it's about pain tolerance. You say that about a player after they perform. Because there's one thing about pain tolerance, if that was the case, that impacts the guy being, look, if he can't step and throw, if he can't move, then it's unfair to have him out there. Plus, Mitchell Trubisky may be a better choice if the guy can't move. I don't think that's what it is. And I don't think you'll hear Sean say that. But to your point about saving him, I think if he can play, he's going to play. And I think that's because of the way Allen is. It's because of the way McDermott is. It's because of the way their circumstances are after these two losses.
Well, Jenna, the Bills are in the playoffs now. Like the playoffs.
Yeah, seventh spot. Yeah.
No. I mean, like the playoffs start now.
Yeah.
This is the playoffs. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like this isn't, well, you know, you got a game to play with. If they were 9-4, we would be having a different discussion.
Yes.
They are not. Mm-hmm. The playoffs start now. Losing to Carolina would end their season. Like for one way or another. Like, so this thought of like protecting him, if this was elbow problems, even a groin, some of that, like this is going to be something that Josh and the Bills offense will have to deal with the rest of the season. This turf toe sprained foot isn't going to be 100%. Nobody is 100% right now in the season. Yeah. None of this is going to get fixed until after the season. But to Mike's point, this isn't going to keep him, you know, he doesn't have a sprained MCL that could get torn or something. Like this is turf toe is a nagging, lingering injury. Yeah. And because of, like Mike said, I think for all intents and purposes, this, I don't know what that saying is, all intents and purposes.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
that's correct. That's okay.
Good. Very well done.
Thank you. The playoffs start
like
now.
The one Janet came up with last week that, you
the
know,
devil is in the details.
Well, that's another one. Yeah. Yeah.
What was my other one?
I don't remember, but it was good.
You made up one. It was good.
I mean, I'm not going to put that out of the question. Okay. Well, then.
And look, and I was going to say, they do feel confident in Trubisky to come in and play, but there's no real margin here, right?
Yeah.
Like he hasn't played at least limited amount of time, you know, taking a couple of snaps. He did run the one in for a touchdown. I think that was against the Texans. Yeah. But he's been very limited. So while they like what they have, and if they need to have him play, I think they have a level of confidence. But I think they have more confidence in a 75% Josh Allen than 100% Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, that's very fair. I guess I just know how successful the QB design runs were for Allen against the Bucs and what that meant for the offense. And just, I mean, Mike, is there any concern with that? Because when you have Josh out there as a runner, there's always the concern of him getting injured. But with him having something to deal with now, like, do you think that affects what they do on Sunday?
Yeah, I do. I do think it does. I think they will attempt to win this game with Josh more from the pocket. I don't mean that he won't run because he's going to run.
Yeah.
I mean, Jenny, you had the video. You were on the sidelines. You had him getting hurt in the Tampa game. And he's, you know, he's running out of bounds and gets tackled as he goes out of bounds. You know, I mean, it wasn't like a massive hit. It's just what happens in this league.
Correct.
Yeah. When you get tackled. I don't think it would shut it down. I don't think it'd be like, Josh is never leaving the pocket. If that was the case, then I don't think he would play. But do they maybe not call the, you know, Josh sweeps, the power sweeps with him? I think it's more of him finding his spots, picking and choosing, and getting down before he takes a hit. But let me tell you something. With an ankle like that, he gets caught in the pocket. If he can't move and gets taken down,
it's the same thing.
That's when he could – that's when he could get hurt maybe as much or more than when he's running the ball.
Right, and I think that's so much the knock that we've always been worried. I've had conversations with other media members being like, Josh is invincible. Like, he's either going to get really hurt one of these days or he's just going to be invincible. I think against New England, he got flipped up, landed. It looked like he landed on his head, and he pops up. He's gotten laid out so many times. And it's always that worry. It's, like running quarterbacks get injured. Like RG3 got torn up on awful turf and his knee went two different ways. He never should have played. Josh, for the most part, even though he has taken big hits, he's gotten up and everything's kind of been fine. Yeah, he's been concussed. Like I get that. That's part of the game. But like the hit that he took in the New England game, he got blindside laid out by Matt Judon in the first half, right before there. Like that was the biggest shot that he's taken this season. And this thought of like, oh, you can't run Josh because he's going to get injured. The way that he got crumpled, kind of like rolled up on in the Tampa game, like that could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Like that could happen to a running back, a wide receiver, a cornerback after an interception. Like that to me, none of that like scares me away from all of those things. But to Jenna's point, you will have to adjust the game plan because you found success. That's what we've said all season. There has been so much success with Josh running the ball that when he's been their best rusher, and I said before the season, a lot of my hot takes, very wrong. A lot of them. Most notably, Jacob Hollister for tight end, really swung and missed on that guy, as well as AJ Epinesa leading the team in sacks, 0-2. But Josh Allen has a chance of leading this team in rushing. He's like 20 yards behind Devin Singletary. I think he will lead the team in rushing when it's all said and done. Oof. That's the only one I got right, though, I think.
Yeah, that's all right.
Jacob Hollister.
Jacob Hollister. You did bite on that one. I said Gabe Davis would have an all-pro season. But he makes some plays.
That's why they're hot takes.
That's why they're hot takes. But also, well, I mean, quick aside, talking about the offense and what worked for them, like, Gabe Davis made some big plays for them down the stretch. He's kind of someone that we've seen fade. Cole Beasley, another guy that I thought had a fantastic second half. I mean, you talked about Mike finding something in that Tampa game, but, you know, with Josh wondering what he'll be able to do on the ground, like, how nice is it to know that you can have a little confidence in those receivers heading into Sunday?
The receiver room's interesting right now. I mean, you still have Diggs, who's, you know, their best player.
Yeah,
I don't think Sanders is playing. Again, it's early. I just don't think so. I think Gabe Davis has been ready, and he's made a few plays, made a big one on that fourth down. Yeah. And, you know, what did he say to Josh? He thanked Josh for having faith in him. And I do think they have faith in him. I think Beasley's tough. I think he's a tough dude. Forget all the other stuff and everybody got all worked up about. I'm talking about on the football field, he's not healthy. And he plays, they give him these veteran rest days, a lot of them. He's not that old. Like, he's not practiced a lot. I think he's been dealing with ribs. His legs are always banged up, and they got him the ball. It's different this year. It just isn't working the same. But their wide receiver room's been a little bit compromised now without Sanders. And like I said, I don't think Beasley's 100%. I think Davis is that spark. I really do think he is, because I think he can make plays for them. And I think they're going to start relying on him because they're going to need to over the last month.
Yeah. I think Gabe Davis has been a luxury. And I think, you know, Jenna, you guys are both very high on him this season. And I was the one that was kind of the contrarian, being like, if they loved Gabe Davis so much, they probably wouldn't have signed Emmanuel Sanders. And look, Sanders has had big moments. He caught 2 touchdowns in Kansas City. Yeah. He had 2 touchdowns against Washington, I believe. Like, he's had moments and things like that. I'm never going to be one. The word, you know, what we had on Zoom calls today was a lot of people asking, hey, should you have gotten Gabe Davis the ball more in the earlier 13 games of the season? Like, you can't go back, but would you want to give him the ball more? Like, I don't know. Like, I guess I go back to the sense of, when we talk about playing time as players, or as like us media members asking about players, like, coaches see them way more than we ever see them. Like, we all wanted Matt Breida. Oh, get Matt Breida in. Breida hasn't fixed the running game at all. So maybe the Bills knew what they had there. Gabe Davis is a great fill-in guy. I still don't know if he's ready to take the next step. We will find out more in the next 4 games.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, where people are like, oh, like, where's Gabe Davis been all year? I don't know. I'm not that guy that's going to call out who's inactive and who's not active, because we're not there at practice. And that's one thing that I won't do.
Yeah. I think he's going to be ready. I'm curious.
Gabe Davis all year.
I'm curious to see what he will do with his opportunity. We'll put it that way. All right. Well, as we get into it, what needs to change? We now are in week 15. Mike, I mean, the fact that this team is 7-6 just still boggles my mind.
Yeah. And it comes down to both lines of scrimmage. And this has been a constant theme. They don't get enough pressure with the D-line and the offensive line, though they did play better in the second half. And and I think they, when I say they found something, they started to play. And I think it was in total. Like, we were wondering, like, what's going to flip the switch with this team? And I think it was a transpiration. I mean, they're down 24-3 against Brady. And then it was like, screw it, we got to play better. And that second half, both sides of the ball, they were more aggressive. Everybody talks about them starting to run, right? It's like, you know, it's all after Daboll, because they didn't throw the ball enough in the New England game, even though they threw it 30 times in that game. So then you start in the first half of the game, when again, they didn't run it at all to the running backs. Josh ran it a couple of times, and they were getting beaten up. So did it help to break a couple of runs? Yeah, I do think it was. They handed the ball to running backs 6 times in the second half. You would think, based on the narratives I've seen, that they'd be ground and pound in the second half. They had a couple of nice runs from the backs, And the rest of it was Josh running and Josh being Josh in the second half. Got the ball to everybody, had guys over the middle. I mean, they were moving the ball. So what do I want to see? I want to see the offensive line play with a little of that aggressiveness that I think they showed. And certainly defensively, not just the line. They sent Edmonds. They sent Milano. I want to see more of that. I don't believe you're a blitzing team, but Dan, sometimes send those guys. You got to Brady. I think they confused. God, can I say this? I think they confused Brady on a few plays. He was probably like, the Bills are sending pressure, you know, and he wasn't, he certainly wasn't ready, and they had good coverage and Milano came up with a big sack. So I want to see aggression on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they've been a really good blitzing team. And I mean that in the sense of not when they've blitzed, like they don't blitz a lot, like Mike said, but when they blitzed in Miami, it worked. Yeah. When it's almost like they lull teams into this false sense of like, well, they'll never blitz. And then all of a sudden they do it. And it's like the Jack in the Box pops out. And it's like, what the hell is this thing? Like it's worked at the right times. I would like to see it more because that is the only way they're getting home at the quarterback. The only way, the only way they're getting in at the quarterback, because the four guys, I don't know if Jerry Hughes has played the last 3 weeks. AJ Epenesa hasn't gotten there. If it's not Ed Oliver getting a little bit of pressure, Mario Addison's had a couple of sacks, I guess he's the one, but this pass rush has just been non-existent. Sean McDermott was asked about it on Wednesday, was asked if he needs to see more production out of them. And he said, yes, 100%. Yes, absolutely. Big words from Sean McDermott, who pretty much is calling out his D-line because they need something. As for the offensive side, I don't know. Like, play, like Mike said, desperate, frenetic. How about up-tempo? How about panic? Like, that's what...
No, not panic.
Yes, panic.
Not panic. I don't like panic. Desperate and panic are different to me. One is a lot more in control.
But Josh does well when things get chaotic at times.
You know, one thing they shouldn't do is fake punts to Matt Breida. Yeah. I tweeted that was such a Rex Ryan clumsy. By the way, again, I'm going to vent here. You never fake a punt when there was a decision to be made. Go for it. Don't go for it. Because the other team's got to be sitting there thinking, watch for the fake.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Near midfield, 4th and 2, 4th and 3. God. Oh, they fake it. On the plus side, they not only they not only didn't make it, they lost yardage on that plus. But on the plus side, it was the first time a running back got the ball in that game. But that is not desperation or panic. That's more panic. That's dumb. That was dumb.
Right. That's not panic. That's just dumb.
That was dumb. Yeah. If you're going to go for it there in that circumstance, put the ball in 17's hands.
Correct.
And let him try. And if you stop him on fourth down, your best player had the ball, whether it's a pass or a run, so be it. But Breida, ugh.
It honestly seems silly you saying this, because it's like, yeah, of course they should have put the ball in Josh Allen's hands. You know what I mean? Like, hindsight, of course, is 20/20. But at the same point, it's like, you're at 4th and 2 and you're going to do a fake punt and hand it to Breida? Like,
or try with Matt, the punter, because he's moving in slow motion when he goes to kick the ball. Anyhow, maybe the guys on the other side would take a nap in the middle of his delivery, and then he could run for the first down. You know, like a Chariots of Fire on, you know, slow motion running. My guess is that's how he would run, because that's how he kicks the ball.
I thought it was, like Mike said, dumb to fake punt.
Ugh.
And then it was dumber to punt at the end of the third quarter. Like, that was where, again, I want to initiate. It's kind of like when Mike and I have we have said that this Bills team is soft, and people are like, oh, like, they're soft. You have to tell that to their faces. Yeah, I'm not an NFL player, okay? They are much tougher than me. I will also say, I'm not a coach. I've never coached the NFL. I have never coached at any level of football or play called. But the fact that they punted there was just mind-blowingly dumb.
Yeah.
Especially after you just went for it. So, like, it's the overcorrecting. That's the sense of, that's the bad panic, Jenna, where it's like, yes, oh my gosh, we made a mistake. We'll compound it. We'll make sure we punt it this time. It's like, no. And again, last year,
McDermott was so confident in the offense and they would just go for it on fourth down. Now he's timid. Now he's now it's the overly cautious. That's where I want to see. Yeah. Have the stones and the determination to just go with it and to be like, this is who we are. This is what we need to be.
Yes.
That was a, that was a Rex Ryan-esque punt in overtime.
No doubt.
With 3 minutes to go.
Doug Marrone loved it. But Jenna, the other thing, I do think it's different this week because you're going against Cam Newton and PJ Walker. And who knows, the ghost of Sam Darnold too could be playing as opposed to going against Tom Brady.
Yep.
And you know, he was asked, McDermott was certainly asked about the punt in the press conference. I had somebody call me out here and say, oh, you're a tough guy now on the punt. I wanted to ask the question too. It got asked twice in two different ways before I got a question in post game the other day. But while I still have immense problems with the punt, it became less of a factor in the immediacy after the game. The Bills ended up tying the game, had a chance to win it, and it went to overtime. So while we look back on it and say, man, that's a bad decision, in totality, it was like, come back, you tied the game and could have won it. So it became less of an issue in the way the game played out. But they were fortunate that that happened, that they were able to get back in it the way they did. Going forward, go for it, is what I would say to Sean.
I mean, I agree. Oh, what were you saying, Dan?
No, I was going to ask you, Jenna. I thought it was Mike talked about all the passes in the first half, right? They didn't have a single handoff. Maybe Dable's playing chess while we're thinking checkers, because I think he tired out the Bucs pass rush because they got to sprint in at Josh Allen so much. It was the offensive line was just a turnstile. So they got tired in the first half. They were probably getting IVs at halftime and oxygen because they were just running wind sprints directly at Josh unblocked. Like it was easy. And
the
then
unblocking
the
part really made it more, more taxing. Interesting to fall behind 24-3 too. That was all part of the plan.
Yep. Like I said, maybe that was Dable's plan. Like we'll tire them out in the first half. They'll do all these sprints. And then the second half, they won't have the legs.
It's like you guys are too young to know, but it's like Muhammad Ali used to do the rope-a-dope. He'd get against there and let the guy punch himself out. Now you're also realizing that other guy is punching you numerous times, but that's the idea, you know, rope-a-dope. And it worked at least to that point.
Dable's next level, guys. Next level.
Seriously. It's all part of the plan. Well, I will say to your point, Dan, in the second half, the Bucs defense was gassed.
Yeah.
Like hands on the hips. You could tell that they were. And again, some people say momentum doesn't exist in sports. Like Mike said, that means you've never played sports. Josh Allen said after the game, like momentum is something you can't see, but you can feel. But yeah, you could definitely tell that. They were tired out, but all right. We talk about.
Well, no, I was going to continue what you just said there. The Bills were actively running, moving, pass and run blocking, but you don't feel as tired when it's working.
Exactly.
You know, and that is all part of that. You just power through it, and it's that had to feel great for that offense to look like themselves. I guess Dan, would you say maybe in the Kansas City game? Was the only other time this year, even though they blew out bad teams. I'm talking about where they were moving the ball, throwing the – that Kansas City defense was so bad at that point of the year that they had guys wide open. But that second half, to me, has been the only time it has felt like I've watched who the Bills were last year in this season.
Yeah, and, Jenna, I think, too, the game in Nashville against the Titans, that was – you know, while they faltered some time in the red zone, they haven't – I think those probably were the games that you thought the most where it was like, this feels right. Like this feels who they are. Right, Jenna?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. But again, I think in that game against the Bucs, like it wasn't, I don't think it was panic in the second half. I really don't. I think it was pride. Like if I were Sean McDermott at halftime, I would have been like, look in the mirror. What are you doing? Cause I think when you play panicked, you play undisciplined. Like I think about when I panic, maybe not the most disciplined, but if I'm desperate, it's a different type of situation. And look, they're going to be desperate where they're at in the season because I mean, they have four games left, one of which is against the Patriots in Foxborough, but like path to the playoff wise.
Yeah.
Like this team did not make it easy on themselves, obviously, but how does it have to look? Because they need to pick up wins and they need to do it consistently something we've seen this team just struggle with this whole season.
So let's go low bar here. They need to beat the Panthers, the Jets, and the Falcons. And I still think it looks like it would work out. You just don't know. It may come down to a tiebreaker, and they're not great on the tiebreakers, but it depends on how these other teams do. You get the Patriots win, you win out, and it's a different story. And that Patriots game, while right now it feels like Patriots are set, right now they do. They have the division. Yeah. Let's see where it is at midnight on Saturday. Because if the Patriots lose, that, if nothing else for the Bills, there is now a clear path to win the division. Yeah. Because even though it didn't feel like it after that game and then after the loss, if the Patriots lose to the Colts on Saturday night in Indy, which could happen, and the Bills beat the Panthers, it's on for Foxborough, 1 o'clock game, right day after Christmas. That's the game. You want to win the division? You beat them. Then all you have to do is beat Atlanta and the Jets, and you are division champs. You lose it, New England clinches the division, and it's over. So it can come down to that. Plus, New England still has Miami on the road at the end, but, you know, who knows how that plays out. But, again, their path to me is win the games you have to win, and if you win the game in Foxborough, no matter what the Patriots do, then 11 wins, you're going to be in the playoffs. So I believe, Dan, the phrase is they control their own destiny.
Absolutely. Oh, tons. They absolutely control their destiny. But, Jen, I think that's why I think you guys, when you guys were down there in Tampa, that's why, and we kind of started the pod that this way, but just the fact of like that there was a moral victory that like that is who they could be going into the final quarter of this season. And I listened to Trent Dilfer on Ryan Russillo's podcast, and he talked about just the fact of what impressed him most about that game. And first, obviously, it was just Brady playing incredible as Tom Brady. I mean, he's the best he's ever played, that, you know, but just the fact too that Josh Allen, he said, can throw you back into a game. And he said that's the toughest thing as a quarterback to do in the NFL, to throw a team back in the game when they know you're going to throw it, when the defenses are trying to confuse you, when they're going to confuse you with coverage. Josh just took that game over. So if there's nothing less, at least for me, there is more. I feel better after this game than I do after the Saints game moving forward, Jenna.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree.
And to real quick, to Dan's point, that throwing and it's difficult. And that was without a turnover. You're against Tom Brady down 24-3 and you end up getting that game to overtime. I mean, if you take a step back, the odds of doing that without turning the ball over from the other team, you know, there was no picks, there's no interceptions. You did it with your offense. And the defense. I'm saying the defense came up with plays to get it back, but there was no pick six. There was no fumble. Right. And, you know, it was just moving the ball. Yeah.
That's why, Jenna, it makes those two punting coaching decisions even worse. And where people go, like Mike said, well, what's it matter? Well, just because Josh Allen's heroics erased it and got it tied doesn't mean it didn't happen. And to me, it immediately brought me back, Jenna, to when McDermott benched Tyrod in his first season and it blew up in his face and they won it at the end, thanks to Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. And people are like, that gets forgotten. It's like the punt didn't happen because they forced overtime. It's like, it still happened.
Yeah.
It's like, just because Josh erased it, didn't make it the correct coaching decision. Because like you said, Mike, you needed a turnover and Tom Brady wasn't going to turn the ball over. Like, he just kind of had that thought. So again, I feel better about Josh and the offense. I'm starting to think Sean's panicking a little bit.
I think his confidence has been shaken. I don't think Allen's. I mean, you look at what he did in terms of Allen. I mean, Sean McDermott said it was incredible, all of those things. But I think where he's been at with some of the decisions he's made this season, I think he is a little scared. And like, Mike, that is a little scary as you head down the stretch, because you need a coach that's going to be calling and staying aggressive.
Aggressive, too, with your best player. And look, Josh's going to make mistakes. It is interesting that the only points they gave up in the second half were after that punt.
Yep.
And that's when they drove down. Now, I will say this. Let's flip to Sean's side. In the whole second half, they have one drive where they get points and they only get three. It is interesting in a way that it was after the punt. right? Because it did punt them down there. They had a long way to go, and they end up driving down and kicking the field goal. If there was ever a time that he had faith in his defense, I guess it would have been that. But this is still only in the third quarter, and the Bills were down 14 points. It was a bad decision. I think it is. And I think the fact that he made it twice makes it worse. The fake was bad and the punt was bad. I think now at 7-6, put your faith in 17. I keep saying this, put it in 17. And you know what? If you got stopped there, they're going to kick, they end up with a field goal. All you did was give them another 4.5 minutes of the clock that they took down. Mm-hmm. I would have gone for it in that case. And I hope he thinks that way going forward, especially when you're talking about going against whatever this two-headed, three-headed mess that the Panthers are at quarterback, the Jets with the kid at quarterback. And in fairness to Matt Ryan, that's coming to an end down there too. So I think in those cases, and be honest, even against Mac Jones, okay, we're talking about Mac Jones, not Tom Brady. Be more aggressive with your offense.
I'm still having nightmares about that punt. Like, I was in the middle. Like, Jenna, it's funny because you're on the sidelines. It's very tough to tweet like while you're shooting highlights and running up and down the sidelines. Yeah. And you shot an amazing second half. Like, thank just you, so good. The highlights that we have of the low angle field angle are incredible. But I was in the middle of tweeting on second down, this is four down territory. Like I was like in the middle of like typing it, and all of a sudden they're like, and they're gonna punt as Matt. And I'm like, I couldn't even send the tweet out. But that like, there's no way you punt here. And they did. And again, moving forward, it just makes you question, Mike, like you said, your back is not against the wall. But as I was saying before, like, this is playoff time. Like, you have no, there is no more room for error. And so I think if you go down and the ship goes down, I want the ship to go down on 17's legs, arms, and shoulders.
Oh, your back is against the wall. They can't lose. I mean, we're saying this. We're just giving them three wins these four games say in this case, this team hasn't shown that.
Jenna just almost jumped out of her seat.
On the plus side, those games are at home against these teams. And I will say this. I got a sense today. We had a podcast or an interview with John Ellis from Charlotte. I got a sense from him today that this is one of those teams they're facing this week. It's late in the year. It's a little self-preservation. These are my words, not his. A little self-preservation on the Panthers side as the season closes out. I mean, this does happen in the NFL in December and January where teams are out of it and guys are kind of looking out for themselves a little bit. I think you may see that from the Jets, you know, on the road. I think you may see that from the Falcons in the cold, leaving Atlanta, coming up here to play. But your back's against the wall. There's no question. You can't slip up again, and you might have to sweep in order to make the playoffs. So, yep, it's against the wall.
That's what makes me so nervous, though, is because this team has struggled to beat other teams. Like, I know that sounds stupid saying that, but, like, even Jacksonville, you could have said, and look, that was in November. I just feel like, sorry, I was hearing an echo for a second. I just worry because, look, you're right. This team's back is against the wall. High stakes, they need to win. But I'm curious how they will deal with that pressure, because that is a lot of pressure and there's a lot of expectations. There always has been a lot of expectations on this team. And with things not going their way, I'm curious to see how it will go. Yeah. I'm encouraged because of how the second half against the Bucks went, but I am, if I'm being honest, like I'm worried about their ability to string together that many wins this season, because they haven't showed the ability to do that.
You're right. And that Jags game, I think, you know, when I retire 20 years from now and then you two take over, we're still going to be talking about, by the way, how did the 2021 Bills lose to the Jags with that
Urban
idiot
Meyer
coaching in Jacksonville?
Makes me sick.
The least equipped guy to coach an NFL team I've seen since Steve Spurrier came to the Washington, at the time, Redskins out of Florida. I cannot believe that loss. And that's the loss that took away whatever room they have left. By the way, I said 20 years, maybe 19. What do you think?
At that point, Buffalo Plus will have like a million subscribers.
And at that point, I'll have a new car.
Nope. The million subscribers is much more likely to happen than a new car for Jenna.
We're going to celebrate when I get a new car on this podcast.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't either. You would definitely die. But no. 19 years. Okay, Mike.
Well, it might be less than that. This season's taken a lot out of me.
I think it's taken a lot out of Bills fans. Did you see tickets for the game on Sunday? Some seats were like $11, $15.
I can see that happening. First of all, they're sitting outside. It's cold. Like, that's the part where it comes in. By the way, also to some fans, I get the during game frustration. At halftime, I was getting messages. McDermott's lost the team. When are they going to fire him? Get rid of Daboll. You know, it's not happening. I don't know about the Daboll McDermott dynamic. We'll see by the time the season comes to an end. Sean McDermott's not going anywhere. Brandon Bean's not going anywhere. Settle down. You've had a team that is still one of the best organizations in the NFL that's going through a rough patch. This is when you depend on these guys to fix it. They're not going anywhere.
We always talked about how the expectations have changed for Josh Allen and people being like, why are you still critiquing Josh Allen? Like, Josh Allen last year was incredible. Like, lay off him. The guy can't do any wrong. It's the same thing. The guy makes one bad play or one punting decision, which is a very bad punting decision. I'm not trying to like get away from that, but it's like, guy can't coach. It's like, really? Like, okay. Yeah. Again, and that's why they always talk about like staying on script and, you know, teams have these 15 plays that they like to run on first and second down, you know, within 10 yards and they go on script. And I've listened to some podcasts where Dilfer has explained like why it's so tough to stay on script, where if a team says the plan is we're going to run the ball and then they go three and out with three runs. And then teams are like, well, why don't you stick with it? Then they throw it a bunch of times. It's like, cause it's emotional. Like, cause being on an NFL sideline is not easy. You, all of you guys, all you viewers and ladies on Twitter during the game, you're like, this guy stinks. And then later it's like the most amazing comeback ever. It's like everybody's emotional these games.
Jenna, is there anything better than Dan's impersonation of fans?
I was gonna say, ladies,
let me tell you something.
But nobody uses caps lock as much as you do.
I am a caps lock freak.
The king of the caps lock.
No, I mean, I get, you're right. There are so many emotions that go into it. And it's frustrating, especially when you see like that first half, you're like, what is going on with this Bills team? There's so much better than this, the frustrations that come with it.
Yeah. And it's confidence, right? Mike Hyde. Confidence is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Right now, Sean McDermott doesn't trust his gut, obviously, with a fourth down fake punt and then a fourth. Like, neither of those are Sean McDermott. Those are not the coach that has what I had always said. Like, he's a defensive minded guy. We knew he took the job as that, but he evolved into this guy that was with the times almost analytically, too. Like, you know, he taught game management, all of those things. He learned how to change with the NFL. And it just kind of seems like he's taken that step back of timidness, which, guess what, is understandable considering what has happened this year. Every single break that could have gone wrong or every flag that they haven't gotten, a lot of them have gone against them. Like, that's just the way that it is. Well, and that happens.
Don't, you know, trust your own process. Stick with it. This team needs that. They need that from the coach. And you know what? Sometimes, Jenna, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You're gonna go for it. You're going to get burned. Okay. What does the defense say if the offense gives the ball up like that? Our job is to keep them out of the end zone. Our job is to don't allow them points, right? Mm-hmm. Teams, I think that helps a little bit. I think we may see that more going through the end of the year. I hope McDermott's the kind of guy that sits back afterward and goes, that was a mistake. I should have trusted my guys more. I do think he's self-critical, and I do think he looks at it. I hope he gets back to what Dan said he evolved into, because I think that'll help this team get that spark. If there is a spark left, this is the time to see it.
Yeah, no, I agree. We'll have to wait and see. The Bills hosting the Panthers coming up this weekend. We're actually having a special show, our show tomorrow, which is Thursday. Mike, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's our Buffalo Plus live show. Again, your comments, your takes, you can vent to us, whatever you want, what you think you'll see, what you want to see. I know a lot of you have lost faith, you know, because it's been that kind of year. But go ahead and join us 7 o'clock here on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. And I've got the podcast or the interview with John Ellis. By the way, interesting thoughts he has about the way McDermott and Bean are perceived down there.
That's a good tease.
That's a good tease.
And the biz. The biz.
And by the way, he gets into the nitty gritty of what the Panthers will try to do, what he thinks the Bills can do against the Panthers. So if you want to really be prepared to watch the game, check that out with John Ellis, what they're saying in Charlotte.
Awesome. All right. Perfect. Thank you so much. All right.
Like,
for Mike,
comment, subscribe.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Yep.
Dan didn't punt there. Dan went for it right then.
False start.
Well, how many times have I interrupted you at the beginning of the shows? Because I'm the jerk. So it's like, all right.
That's all right. I'm used to it. All right. For Mike and Dan, I'm Jenna. Thank you for listening. Please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And I know we talk about subscribing so much, but it really does a lot for our channel. We're at 11,005 something. We just want to keep growing as much as possible. So we always appreciate all the love and support. And yeah, that about wraps it up. We'll have plenty more content coming up. Thanks for watching on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.